Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And I'm sitting here with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
And Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
We have successfully, traversed the Christmas and New Year's. All right.
It was a success.
Yeah. I think it was a beautiful time.
You got to baptize one of your grandsons?
I got to baptize. One of the perks of being a deacon, a permanent deacon. Being married, having kids, and
cool photos.
You get to baptize your grandbabies, and there's something neat about that. You don't have to, and then I think it'd be odd if they'd have said, "Well, I don't want you to do the baptism."
Well, and this is a traditional time. Early in the church's history, baptisms were done at this point in the liturgical calendar. I mean, because you have the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which obviously today. We celebrate as a part of Epiphanytide. And now obviously we associate baptisms with people who are coming in through RCIA, but there was also a period of time in which a lot of people...
OCIA.
OCIA.
Yeah, the priest faces the people, all kinds of new things have
started happening. New era, new world.
In the church,
The teacher faces the class.
And they got the phones have like this, the boop, 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 the touch tones. Lots of improvements in the world. But all that aside, we're going to get an email now from somebody not liking the priest facing people. So I'm sorry about that.
Well, we all find ad orientem to be a beautiful thing.
Quite beautiful.
We're not against it at all.
No, absolutely not. But certain people are. And so at the end of the day, I don't know. I'm just not going to weigh in anymore on that. I'm tired of my New Year's resolution is not to.
We need to get to a more serious topic.
No. Yeah, we will. But first, the serious to me is, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of the infighting. I'm tired of fighting everybody.
You should see his knuckles. I mean, they are.
They're getting bad. No, it's more like my face. The other guy's knuckles are bloody. No. I think there are important things. And Tom, I'm glad you brought that up because in the midst of all the glow of the holidays, mm-hmm. all the excitement, life happens. And so does death. And I had the joy of baptizing my grandson, little Joey, Nicholas Joseph Drzemski Jr.
Joey.
Yeah, goes by Joey.
Love it.
He goes by whatever. He just lays there.
Great names.
He doesn't come to you
names.
If he calls. He just kind of stays there. So they've chosen Joey to be the go by name, which is it's nice. That's a cute name.
I like it.
And so that was like a point of light and excitement and beauty, and it was wonderful. But at the same time, just a couple days before that, my brother-in-law died. May he rest in peace, Deacon Mark Westendorf, a permanent deacon of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, and somebody I've known for, 40 years, and is really just, he's a peer because I'm, there's like in-law. So my wife is one of 15. Hello, Bess. My wife is one of 15 kids. And so we always viewed the in-laws, we started calling ourselves the outlaws, the ones that were sort of grafted onto the vine, as it were. Mm-hmm. And he was always there. He was married before
us. Oh, you had your
own
little side group. I got it.
Yeah.
So it's 15 outlaws.
Yeah, so we had to kind of hang in, as one to kind of hold our own, so we didn't lose our identity. So there's some of that, but he was one of them, and he was such a great, just a good man, just a rock solid dude, a great Catholic. And he basically led the way in everything in that family with the married couples. They were the first to get married. They were the, and they were the first to have kids in the family. And now that, there's 170 some odd grandkids and great grandkids in that family. It's huge.
Wow.
It's just a huge family. But they were like the primal couple, you know, Deacon Mark and Mary Tom, and always looked up to them, always respected, especially Mark, you know, in a profound way. He was always this guy that, just a good, solid guy, came from good people, Midwestern, just a great folks. The only thing that I led him in, the only thing that I did first was become a permanent deacon. So I've been 17, going on 18 years a deacon, and he just went through his 16th year.
I thought he was ahead of you. I don't know why. Nope. I thought that.
No, and so he followed me. So I always had that, you know. Yeah. So I was like, well, you know, Mark.
I'm sure you never brought
it up. I was a deacon first. Oh, yeah, I did all the time. But that was the only thing I had.
Right.
Everything else he had. And I so respected that that man. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's really hard. And these are the kind of things. So, you know, I know you guys have experienced loss in your life and in your families. All of us have.
I had my uncle died, actually, the early morning hours of the Feast of the Holy Family. Yeah.
And that's always a travesty. And then the other thing is what you – I don't know if you have experienced, Sam, what Tom and I – have experienced just because of our age, right? Yeah. You just turned 13, and that's awesome. And you have your whole life ahead of you. But as I've just turned 64, you know, and I'm starting to, you know, I shouldn't say starting to. I'm already in a certain category. And at the end of the day, we have peers, right? We have people who we've walked with, people that we spent who've done the same things. We look around and go like, man, we're going to a lot of funerals, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so I was there when all the family came in town for Mark's funeral. You know, it's like this, normally when that family gets together like that, it's something joyous. It's somebody's, it's, you know, the my in-laws' anniversary, you know, they got 70 whatever years, excuse me, married. And it's like, and I'm sorry, Bess, I don't remember the exact number. She knows. But
you're in trouble.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm just admitting it now to everybody, you know. And the thing is, it's just a long time, right? And so that's usually we get together. It's a joyous occasion.
And you have Skyline Chili.
I don't eat Skyline Chili. Yes,
yeah. I mean, that's a highly polarizing topic for me.
Very much so. It's not chili. It sits on spaghetti.
Really?
Okay, so we're not going there.
Yeah. I got to learn more about this, but go ahead.
But the thing is, when you come together for these sad times with all those same people, it's the beginning of something that I'm afraid is going to be it's going to be a lot of tumult. It's going to be a lot of just tumbling and falling and hard knocks. But this is where family's important. But it makes you think about stuff. It makes you think about death and dying. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're, you know, 13 years old, like Ziggy here, you're not thinking about it. You're thinking about like, oh, and my next car is going to be this. And I'm like, yeah, I might be in my last car. I don't know. It's got 200,000 miles, you know. I'll probably have another car. But that maybe is not a great example. Yeah. But I'm not looking at my next house.
Right.
I'm not looking at – there are things that's like, this might be the last – I go to Home Depot and go, this might be the last extension cord I ever buy, you know. You know, it makes you think about that stuff, right?
It does.
And then one of these little offshoots. Now,
it's
I was
funny,
there,
but it's not funny.
No, it's not. I think it's actually healthy.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to laugh. I think a little bit of humor in these kind of situations is good. I do think I got to meet one of their family, Mark and Mary Tom's friends, is another deacon that went through his deacon formation, his cohort. Or his class, Deacon Terry. Hey, Deacon Terry, if you're listening. He listens to the show, as a matter of fact. And thank you for listening, by the way. And we were standing there talking to the bishop that was doing the funeral for Deacon Mark. And was talking about, like, I don't know whether it's, because Deacon Mark passed away, you know, from a heart attack that was unexpected. So it was a shock.
Similar to my uncle, actually.
Yeah, just when you know, and then it makes you think, like, would I rather not know or would I rather know? Because, you know, we often have people in our lives that are ill, that are seriously ill, and some that
choose your poison, right?
And some even know that it's going to be within the next year or two because of some aggressive cancer or some other kind of situation. And you know, so we talked a little bit about that. You know, and Deacon Terry was very nice. He said, you know, you ought to do a show about that. He said, you guys ought to talk about that in the Luxurious Corner booth. That's how I knew he was a listener.
There you go.
Because he said the Luxurious Corner booth. So again, thanks for listening, Deacon Terry. And you know, also, that's a great suggestion for a topic. I thought, well, let's at least talk about death and dying. And what is the message, you know, that we would have? I don't know whether it'd be... Let's talk about that issue for a second. Well, knowing or not knowing?
Well, so like traditionally, if you look at a lot of the old prayer books within the Catholic Church, you'll see that one of the things that's common, a common petition, is to pray against an unprovided for death.
See, I've never heard that expression, but yeah. Now I understand when you were telling, when I was telling you, it's like, hey, we should do a show on this.
Well, you don't hear
so that, dumb that down
anymore. Yeah, so an unprovided for death traditionally would be one that you don't have the sacraments brought to you before you die, right? So
it's right, you're not on your deathbed.
Yeah, sudden death before a priest can get to you is an unprovided for death, right? And I would say, like, as Catholics, I mean, obviously, you know, many of us, just as human beings, the first thought that comes to us when you, if you're, you know, in terms of the cost of dying suddenly, would be you didn't get a chance to say goodbye to people, right? And there's obviously that's huge, and that's huge, can be huge for you, can also be huge for your loved ones to not have that opportunity. That can sort of be another level of loss. But also, I think within the Catholic Church, not receiving the sacraments.
Right. So there's two different things going on here.
Yeah.
But they are connected, obviously, with death, and one is like the sort of emotional side of it.
Yes.
Right. Wrapping your arms around some kind of sense of finality for you or your loved one, your family. And the other is the sacramental aspect of it and being prepared sacramentally, you know.
Yes.
And so when you say, like, would you rather, because I've had that question posed to me, would you rather know the day of your death, like, would you rather know the time, the relative timing, and be, you know, or would you rather just it be a total shock to you, like, or unknown to you? And at the end of the day, when we started talking about that, and what I really have come to know is, like, I don't think it should matter to me. Now, you might have your own.
You're thinking of it in terms of, am I prepared?
Yeah. So I would think of it like this: live well emotionally and sacramentally. I think is the same for me.
Yeah.
In terms of preparation, live every day as if it's your last.
And if you do, then. Yeah, let's go with the, I don't know, it's coming, let's go, now.
Well, you know, one of the traditional greetings within the Catholic Church, the way that people would greet one another, rather than say hello, is they would say memento mori.
Yeah.
And which, know that you will die.
I've got a skull in my office at work. I went and bought, like, on the Halloween clearance one time at a Walgreens, of all places, they had this realistic-looking skull.
Right.
And I said, I want that. And it's like, why do you want a skull? And it's like, and I have it in my office, and I went online and found the real fancy writing that they always write, that kind of stuff, and sort of the Day of the Dead looking kind of writing, whatever, and wrote Memento Mori on it. Mm-hmm. And Al Mori, that's his name, he sits on my little stand, and it's just every time I glance over there, and I'm the number of times people have made a comment.
Sure.
Like, you got a skull in here. It's like, well, you know, remember, you're going to die one day.
Yeah.
I need to be reminded, because otherwise you can be like 13 years old and until you die when you're, you know, maybe in your 80s
I'm
or 15, 90s.
Guys.
I'm all right, whatever. I'll have to see some ID.
Give the guy some credit.
Yeah, seriously.
And I have my driver's permit, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you can live your whole life not prepared to die.
Yeah.
And that can be a travesty when it comes to your eternal life. And that's why we have to be very cautious. So whether I know, because Tom, personally, I would think like, well, I'd rather just not know and just kind of, it just happens.
Right.
But at the same time, when you ask somebody that question, they have to consider their loved ones.
Right.
Would you do that to your, you know, to your wife, to your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because in those kind of settings, you don't know where you are and what you're doing.
You know, what's funny about this conversation is all. So I'm thinking about three deaths in my life, which was in order: my father, my brother, and my father-in-law. All three of them went like that.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
and some people, because what I always get, I was irritated, maybe the wrong word, but what I always wonder is why people love to chime in, like, well, better that way than to have a slow, agonizing death. And I'm like, okay, but slow, agonizing death, I get the agonizing part why you don't want to suffer, right. But at the end of the day, God saved the world by suffering, A, and B, it's more time to prepare yourself, and that suffering actually can help you prepare and help your entire family prepare.
Yeah.
Well, my uncle, for example, I'm sure this is the same for your brother-in-law. Is it brother-in-law? Is that...
Yes,
that's what I thought.
It's my brother-in-law, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So my wife's sister's husband.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so...
One of the outlaws.
And this is my mom's brother who passed away a little over a week ago. He lived his life as somebody who, he was all in for Jesus. He had kind of a complicated journey, but he returned to the Catholic Church in his final years. And I would say throughout his life, he lived his life in such a way that recognized that this earth is not our home, right? Like, our earth is where our Heavenly Father is. So he's somebody, and in fact, the priest who gave the homily said, you know, I have a lot of children in my, parish as a spiritual father that I worry about. He's like, I don't worry about Robert. You know, like, I don't worry. He's somebody, the reverence with which he receives the Eucharist and talks about Our Lady and the frequency of his reception of the sacraments and the genuineness of his devotion. He was just like, he's someone I've never worried about. And, you know, it's sad for us to see him go, but he came very close to basically canonizing, which I know you're not necessarily supposed to do during the course of a funeral mass, but he was speaking from the heart that he had deep appreciation for my uncle's approach to the faith, and the way he lived the faith. And so, he lived out that memento mori aspect. And
so there's a difference, though. There's a difference between what that priest was saying.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and this idea of, I know that my uncle's in heaven.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
one is actually kind of a sinful sin of presumption, right?
Sure.
And the other is like, well, it probably was not stated this way, but
right.
but better stated by saying, look, if I was going to go to the casino and lay a bet, I would bet that he's in heaven.
Right.
I mean, and that's the best we can do
as
humans, because we can't know that unless
right.
the church proclaims it through all these signs, miracles, etc. But at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong. That's healthy. I think that's like, hey, if I go, I want to go like he did. I want to live a life like he did.
Right.
And I think there's a great witness there that your uncle would have done. Because I have the same exact thought about my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, what a life well lived. I will look, yeah, we're human. We have frailties. We have faults. And we have foibles. We've made frailty, faults, and foibles, the three Fs of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we all experience that. So there is nobody perfect. I mean, I think not since the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm thinking
that we
all fall short, right? And at the end of the day, I think it's okay to look and go like, man, I'm thinking odds are that's a good situation.
He ran the race,
right.
Like he's
right.
someone who ran the race, and is someone that we look to as
an example. Well
yes.
done, my good and faithful servant. There was somebody, one of his sisters, I think, gave him a little plaque. We had like a memento table,
know,
and my family, we put a Donato's pizza box on there.
I bet you did.
He introduced me to Donato's.
He really did.
I have had 40 years of Donato's pizza because
of
him.
Is that a local pizza joint?
It started in Columbus, Ohio, and it's up in the Midwest.
Okay.
And it comes down as far, I know the closest one is in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
it's my favorite fast food pizza on
okay.
the planet. And if you haven't had it, okay, I'm going to give a Donato's commercial. And this is really for Deacon Mark. And that is that, like, it's edge-to-edge, thin-crust pepperoni. Mm. There's 100 pepperonis on their pizza. And it's crispy. It sits on the top. It's not weighed
Perfect.
Down by the cheese. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It crunches when you bite it. Love it. Just love it.
As soon
well,
as
that's
the show's
what
over,
there.
We're going to Nashville.
We need to. Just a little quick trip
Let's
over
go.
There and have lunch. And, you know, the thing is, his sister put, like, a little memento for her was, like, a sort of a hand calligraphy kind of little small framed thing mm-hmm. that just would sit on the desk and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, it was just, it's just a, it's a beautiful notion. And that's what we should look to, mm-hmm. right? And really, I guess when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter whether you go quickly or whether you go in a slow, we don't want people to suffer for no reason.
Right. Well, there's another side to it, too, which is there's also a tradition from a lot of mystics and saints within the church, and this is not church dogma, right? And I don't even think it's doctrine. It's just something that's been reported by mystics and saints, that sort of your, that the hour of your death is that final hour where, I don't know if it's necessary, they're saying that it's always the case, but that the enemy tries to make moves to grab your soul in the last minute, and that some of the toughest, temptations to despair or to unforgiveness and various other things happen in that last hour. And I heard a priest, I think he might have been local to our diocese, but I'm not sure, so I don't know who to credit for this, but he said, when every time we say a Hail Mary, we're praying for the two most important moments in our life, now and at the hour of our death, mm-hmm. right? And so you are literally, as you're praying Hail Marys throughout your life, you are loading up grace for
that last hour.
Don't you know that what you just said offends certain Protestant sensibilities, right?
Oh, sure.
But this is where it's like, we need to revel in our Catholic faith and Catholic tradition and understand why we pray now and at the hour of our death and why that's powerful. So we should probably shift gears in this show now and talk about, if it doesn't matter whether you go quickly or go slowly, and we all have personal preferences, but honestly, that doesn't matter because we don't get to choose, mm-hmm. right? We don't get to choose. And so at the end of the day, what can we do, mm-hmm. right? And I think I always come back to the Boy Scouts motto, be prepared. Mm-hmm. And we should live every day as if it's going to be our last day. In our relationships, right? If we've got grudges, we need to lay them down. We need to think now. I mean, I think personally, I made some choices in that just in the last several days where it's like, you know what? I'm not going to continue to live my life this way with this person. I need to make amends.
I appreciate that apology the other day, by the way.
Now we're going to get sideways again. You know, it's just going to be bad. No, but my point is exactly. I probably do need to apologize to you for all those hair remarks over the years. I did it again. I'm so sorry. But anyway, so what can we do, right? If we can't determine the day or the hour because we know not when the thief comes at night, right? We don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what those scriptures are all about. Not knowing that when the end is, and whether it's near or far, it doesn't matter. We just don't know what it's going to be. So there are some things I think we can do, and one of those is, you know what? Pray the Hail Mary with new conviction. Pray the Hail Mary knowing, especially stressing, now and at the hour of our death, amen. You can say all of it silently. Really be annoying when you're praying a rosary quietly near somebody, and then say nothing except for everything's quietly, kind of a whisper, and then all of a sudden, now and at the hour of our death, amen. People are like, what is that dude doing? He must have listened to Deacon Jeff's admonition that we need to be praying the Hail Mary more, right, and focusing on that. On that little piece right there, yep, now and at the hour, because you're right, we're banking those.
Yeah.
Right? Those are, if we believe that prayer is efficacious, right, the more times we pray, the better. And that's what we need to consider. So praying the Hail Mary, really prayer in general, but praying specifically the Hail Mary or praying for a peaceful death, even when you're not like on your deathbed, is actually a really, really good thing. And also, I think living the sacraments, living a sacramental life.
Go to confession.
Go to confession. It's always our thing.
Frequently.
Right? Yes. Yeah, so go to confession.
Monthly. Go monthly.
Well, and you can earn an indulgence actually every day. Like, if you choose to go to confession, like, either like once every couple of weeks, and you go to Mass daily and receive communion daily, you can do either 30 minutes of adoration, or you can do a rosary in a church with a group. And that, you can earn a plenary indulgence. You have to say a prayer for the Pope and his intentions, and you receive the graces of a plenary indulgence to the extent that you have an interior detachment to the sin. But you can also offer it up to our Blessed Mother and entrust it to her.
Right. So apparently you have like, you just made our Protestant listeners roll their eyes again. You just did. It's like offend a Protestant day for Ziggy.
Well, here's one that'll get them back in line, which is some high school buddies of mine have been showing up more and more for free funerals like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, you see them.
And
yeah.
One of the things we've picked up from that is to tell each other we love each other. You know, we see grown men talking about, saying that to each other, man, I love you, because might not be here next week.
Make amends now.
Yeah.
Even if you're not sideways, just make sure they know. Hey, I just want to make sure you know this.
Yeah.
Like, I so appreciate all of this and all of that, and I appreciate our history together. I appreciate these things. And
start with your family.
In a while. And it's like, this is a, I think that's a positive thing to do. Another thing that you can do is anointing of the sick. Like, we do get physical, spiritual, mental, emotional warning signs, right? That as we get older, things start hurting. There's a reason things start hurting, right? Because we're not going to last as long. There is an expiration date. We don't know it. Like, we can't see it on the can where it's printed, and it's kind of like some of it's rubbed off. We don't know what the date is. But at the end of the day, it's like we need to be prepared. And anointing the sick, when we have chronic illnesses, more challenging times in our life, just old age. And old age, you're allowed to get anointed. And that's a beautiful thing. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's be Catholic.
Amen.
Okay, just live your Catholic faith.
And I was offending the Protestants?
Yes. That's our job. That's our job, is not to offend the Protestants. But hey, just be a beacon of truth. Relish in our Catholic faith. That's the best way to prepare for your inevitable death. You know, unless Jesus decides to come before you take your last breath. But the reality is, probably, odds are, that's not going to happen. So we need to prepare for our death, and relishing and living in our sacramental Catholic life is the best way to do that. Let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to ride along on this particular topic. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.